I'd like to title this morning's message, Instant Christmas, and I'll come back to the title in just a few minutes. Week before last, we were studying here about how that God divinely intervened in the life of Joseph by sending Gabriel to give him the assurance that it would be okay for him and Mary to be married. We discussed briefly the angel Gabriel's visit to Mary, in which he explained to her that she was highly favored of God and that the choice had been made that she would serve as the mother of Jesus. We saw how that at the birth of Christ, or at the time of the birth of Christ, the shepherds who were out in the field watching their sheep were visited by an angelic choir. The news came to those shepherds that the Christ child had been born. And that's what was read today for our scripture reading. That angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." And then the angelic choir began to sing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men." And that was kind of the springboard into our study. And we ended up over in the book of Hebrews, though. Would you turn there with me? We ended up in Hebrews chapter 2. And I told you that here is really the heart of that particular morning's message. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1, I made the statement that up until that point in the sermon, any one of you could have stood behind the pulpit here and given all the information that I had shared about the angelic visit to Joseph and to Mary and to the shepherds. But here we transition from information to experience. Remember that? And in Hebrews 2, I read this verse. Verse 1. "Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away." And I'm concerned because you know the Christmas story so well. You know the details of it. You've read the chapters in Desire of Ages over and over. I'm concerned that you know the story so well that it just becomes old news and old doctrine. And after so much repetition, there's nothing fulfilling and spiritually inviting about the birth of Christ. Maybe the wrong people know the story. You don't need any more information about the story of Christ's birth, but other people who've never heard it do. And in application of this text, he is begging us to pay attention, take heed to the story, actually all the doctrine that we know, not just the story of Christ. And unless we do, we will find ourselves slowly drifting away. Instant Christmas. What could we possibly receive from a title like that? If I could summarize my message today in a sentence or two, it would be this. The joy in Christmas is the fact it is God with us. The angel had told Joseph, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin." But there's a lot to that part in there, Thomas, where it says, Emmanuel, God with us. At about 1:30 last night, I was reading the first page in the book, Desire of Ages. I couldn't get it out of my mind that Jesus Christ, when he came, he was God's thought made audible. And actually, it goes further than that. Not just God's thought made audible, that's hearing, but it's God's thought being put into the form of a person. Now, I'm not about to attempt to explain how all that took place, divinity and humanity being put together, taking humanity's form. But I can tell you this much. The joy is not in the fact that he took humanity's form, but the joy is in the fact that it was God with us. We only have two lives. The life that we're living now, and the promise of another life should we die, or if we live to see Jesus come. Two lives. And unless Jesus comes, the only way to move from this life into the next life is through the portal of death. I wish God could have designed some other plan. I wish he would have put this together in some other way. At the same time, I believe in my heart that God's way is always the best way. If I had been in charge of it, there's no telling what we would have had. And if you had been in charge of it, we would have been arguing over it. So there we go. God chose to do it this way. God chose to provide a way that he himself would come to the earth, that he could experience what it's like to go through all the emotions and affairs of humanity. And test that concept of obedience. And he did it, and it worked. But it was God with us. If you want to have real love and a real home, and somebody who even looks a little bit like you, and I'll be careful here, like we were describing in the story, you can look to the events of Christmas and you find Jesus as a perfect example. Now, you need Jesus in Christmas. If you don't have Jesus, you have despair. You have no hope. we were discussing in our Sabbath school class how it seems today that the devil is just on a rampage, creating as much hurt and destruction everywhere as he possibly can. He's not backing down, folks. And we understand it's going to get worse as time advances. He's like this roaring lion, and he just loves to hurt people. And you need this Christ, this Emmanuel, which really means God can be with you. Are you with me now in the story? How long has it been since you've visited the book of Galatians? I want you to turn there with me. Galatians chapter 4. One of the things those angels was trying to get across to the shepherds was the idea of joy. And, you know, I've been on my own personal journey for joy and contentment here for a couple of years. And I'm coming to the realization that joy does not always mean a smile on your face and the absence of worry. But you cannot have joy without having Christ. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4. It says, But when the fullness of the time had come, God did something. God gave us Jesus. God gave us the Christ. God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law. That's the humanity part. God sent Him here. On time and on schedule, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. The whole story of Christmas means nothing unless Christ is God, and unless you receive Him and all the benefits that He wants to give you. I'm assuming that all of you will open a present sometime during the month of December. Some gift that a thoughtful person is giving you. But you can have an instant Christmas anytime when you think about the Christ in Christmas. And if you can be woman enough or man enough to embrace the concept that it is truly, genuinely God with you. God wants to be with you. Verse 6, Galatians 4, 6. And because you are sons or daughters of God, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. I wish Satan would back off just a little bit. But he's not going to. I wish I knew where to go in Scripture to find that magic explanation of why God tarries. And I will go on record by saying, I accept the standard answer. That God's giving opportunity for all to receive Christ who will. I will receive that answer. But I refuse to believe that's all the answer. There's got to be some more to this story. There's just too much happening. Why does God, even here at Christmas time, there will be accidents on Christmas Day that will take lives of mothers and fathers and children and babies. And I just wish everything could be free from suffering. I just wish for one day or one week we could be filled, now listen to me, filled with extreme joy and not stressed out or worried about anything. Anybody here raise your hand and say, I'd like to be a part of that too, Wendell? But in reality, it's not going to happen. And so we pray and we read our Sabbath school lesson and we worship God to the best of our ability and we just continue to hold on, believing that every day brings us that much closer to eternity and the words of Scripture someday will be fulfilled. I want to take you somewhere else. Turn back with me to Galatians chapter 3, just the previous chapter. Chapter 3 and verse 6. Have you ever been doing a spiritual inventory of your life and you are reminded of all the stuff that's happened that should not have happened? Have you ever felt guilt again and again and again? Maybe this will prevent that from happening. Galatians 3 tells us how we are declared righteous. Just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, I'm not excluding obedience. I believe in obedience. By all means, we cooperate with this Emmanuel, God with us, through obedience. But we become sons and daughters of God because He says we are. He declares it. And that's one place that Satan cannot enter. And he cannot steal. He cannot erase your name from the book of life. He's the accuser of the brethren. But aren't you glad that God's in charge of the judging? This idea, Emmanuel, God with us, I think it can bring about a very faithful, consistent, positive experience any day you want it. If by faith you're strong enough to claim it. You are never alone. Now you need Christ. You need a Savior. And if you've got him, it's a wonderful privilege. If you don't have him, then you do not have the promise of eternal life. Hey, I got another place. Turn here. I want you to go with me to the next little book over, the book of Ephesians. I started reading last night, and I just couldn't stop reading. I just went on and on and on. And it was just like there's a sermon here in every chapter that can be related to Christmas and to the Christmas story. But right here with me, if you will indulge me just a moment, Ephesians chapter 3, I would like to invite you to follow along as I read. Ephesians chapter 3 and beginning in verse 12. Speaking about Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in Him. And then verse 13, look at that. Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Just like over there in the book of Hebrews, he's saying, don't give up. We have Christ. God is with us. Verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees of the Father of our I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant to you. Now this is a gift. It may come at Christmas, but it can come any other time, day or night. This can become an instant gift. And you need this. That He would give to you, that He would grant to you, according to the riches of His glory, to be made strong with might through His Spirit. How? In the inner man. Remember Paul's talking about drifting away. Unless we give earnest heed to the things that we have been taught and that we believe, it happens in the mind. It works from the inside out. Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That you, being rooted and grounded in love. Someday, this is going to happen. The rest of the chapter will happen. If it's happened to you already, I praise God for your walk. It's not happened to me yet, but I want it to happen. I'm willing for it to happen. I want it to take place. Listen, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now you cannot be filled with all the fullness of God. Listen to me. You cannot enjoy all the riches and the abundance of the Godhead and the riches of God in you unless you first have taken the initial step of inviting Christ into your heart. Now, I fear for all of us here who have done that, and we've been experiencing a Christian walk, but yet we know we're not where we want to be. We know we're not where we could have been. And the devil tells us, you're not ever going to be there. Don't you believe him? It is a process, not an event. Don't you want this right here? I want to be filled with the knowledge. There's not a week goes by I don't receive a call and I end up in honesty telling the person, I'm sorry this has happened to you. And so often I don't know even all the right words to say. I'd love to be able to know how to fix everything. I know he's going to fix it someday. And it's going to be a permanent fix. And I hope God lets me live to be a part of it. But to comprehend the length and height and breadth of God's love means that you have a trust factor that is so powerful, it never doubts the providence of God. Now, I'm just telling you, transparency as a pastor, I'm not there yet. I don't fully understand the plan of redemption. I preach it. I've stood I don't know how many times I've stood and given altar calls and begged people to receive Christ and taught them the principles of salvation. But why would God even want humanity? It is a question I don't fully understand. All the history in the Old Testament. He did everything he could to bless those people, and they would love him for a while and then turn away from him for a while. I wouldn't want a group of friends that way, would you? I want people to at least like me all the time. I'm going to close. Verse 20 and 21. Whatever your need this Christmas week that's coming up is, reach out to God the Father. Reach out in such a way as a member of the family of God you claim the promise. And it says this, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ to all generations forever and ever. Amen.